To our great listeners, and welcome to Conscious Fitness Divine Body, the show on BBS Radio that will help you to reconnect your body, mind, soul connection and really seal this alignment that we are actually. And tonight, I'm so happy to receive on the show and to share this time, this hour with us, with Eugenia and Isabel. Eugenia and Isabel, I've met them 2 or 3 years ago back in Virginia Beach, and we were introduced to each other through a fantastic friend of mine, Reverend Angela Paragoff, who could not stop talking about Isabel and Eugenia as a revelation. And so, of course, my curiosity went on, and I had to get a touch and feel of it, and I did, and I was absolutely blown away and totally like mind-blowing experience that I lived with them through a workshop. And that's why I wanted to really share with you listeners who are on a path to reconnect and rediscover who you are and truly find help out there to support that path and that journey. And I think that Eugenia and Isabel are actually two incredible people who can really support this path. And so we're going to be hearing everything pretty much about them tonight, and hopefully it's going to give you the desire to know more and get on the path with them, because I really recommend it. So, Eugenia and Isabel, you're there?
Yes.
Hey, welcome, guys.
Hi, thank you so much for having us on the show.
Well, thank you very much for taking some of your time. I know it is really precious. You're a really busy woman out there. And so can you tell us a little bit about you guys to kind of make a little surrounding around you?
Okay, I'll start. I'm Isabel Lambert, and I live in Seattle, Washington. I was fascinated growing up because what fascinated me as I was growing up was how our bodies and our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions connect to our conscious experience of who we are, and then obviously how we perceive the world. And as I got older, I was really interested in how our bodies started to malfunction in terms of disease processes and emotional difficulties. And I ended up working in the cancer research lab for a while, but I wanted to go beyond just modern science. I wanted to understand how energy and matter connected through the physical body, the human physical body. So many things happened after that to set me up to where I am now. In Seattle, I have an energy work practice, and I love to be with people and assist them in becoming more conscious of how they think and feel and what their choices are and who their sense of self is, so that the vehicle of the physical body gets maximized, improved, and utilized to the highest degree possible, so that they make the energy connection with matter to then improve their lives in general.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right. I'm Eugenia Oganova, and I started my life as a clairvoyant. I was born this way. So my perception of the universe was always a little bit different than everybody, including people in my family. So I had to adjust to that. And in the process of my life, I was always very curious about the puzzle of human life. What gives us purpose, what gives us meaning, how we make sense of all the experiences that happen, including the traumatic ones, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, and physically, and how all our actions and intents affect our physical existence, our physical health, and our life circumstances in general. So I've been studying this my whole life, one way or another, working with many people since I was about 14 years old. And then I came here to the United States from Soviet Union. At that time, it was still Soviet Union. And in the United States, I now live in Maine, and I have an energy work practice, like Isabel. I work on the phone with people anywhere in the country, and I help them figure out what their life is for them, where is it going, and how to enhance it to match more of what their higher self and their soul perception is instead of what their ego perception is and fears and all sorts of things that block the way to passionate existence.
Very interesting. So, I mean, who doesn't need that, right? So, I guess,
hopefully everybody.
Yes, and we will give all your information during the show. Don't hesitate to, you know, give your website and your phone number if you want to be reached there too, in order to help our listeners to find you. So there's one question that I always kind of start my show with, because really the show is about reconnecting this body, mind, spirit alignment. And so to me, it's really important that our listeners try to find out for themselves what does this body, mind, spirit mean? Because we see it everywhere, we read it everywhere, but somewhere it is, you know, it has a deeper meaning. And and so it's interesting for me to get all of my guests, you know, kind of bringing a piece of the puzzle that can fulfill every one of us. So what is it for you guys, your perception of this body, mind, spirit relationship?
Well, it's actually very easy. We see it that everything is energy. Everything, including feelings, our thoughts, our belief patterns, everything in our life, including our physical body, and that everything is connected. So if we look at our system, there would be all sorts of components of us, like what we think, what we feel, how we act, what we're driven by, and, of course, the physical body that becomes a center point to anchor this entire big self. So the differences in energy, what makes all those things different, is the speed of vibration. And a body, it's a really slow vibration, so it's a slowed-down energy, while the feelings or the thoughts are faster energy. And beliefs are even faster energy. And the soul is really, really fast energy. So that's kind of how we look at that. And we also see that the perception of those different levels of self is dependent on the level of awareness that we have of that particular frequency speed. Let's say we all are aware of the speed that we consider physical. That's why we see all the physical things all the time. I mean, everybody sees physical objects, but we don't see feelings. We have to perceive them somehow else. And most people have ability, obviously, to perceive feelings. So that means that we are attuned to the speed of vibration that feelings represent. The same goes for thoughts. But then if we go to finer, faster frequencies, it becomes a little bit more difficult. And that's the part about opening up more to the faster speed vibration to welcome the soul, but also anchor that in the physical body. So we always have to start with what we do see, which is the body.
So we start out in a lifetime as a spirit soul. That spirit soul has an intention to incarnate and to learn through physical form. So that spirit soul then forms itself into a mind field, that mind field. When Eugenie and I talk about the mind, we talk about the energy field. The brain translates the mind, but the mind is the energy field, including the chakras and the belief patterns and everything, the desires, the hopes, the fears, all of that is imprinted in pure energy. So as the soul slows its vibration down, it becomes a mind field. It becomes an energy field for a human body to exist within. So we learn through experiencing ourselves through our own energy fields, and that gets anchored to the physical body. So nutrition and fitness are so important because we want to be as clear as possible as we anchor in the physical vehicle, and good nutrition and good fitness allows the physical body to be clear so we can translate the mind energy field, which the soul is experiencing itself as us through the energy field and then anchored to the body. So if we don't have really clear an open and physically attuned bodies, it's harder to translate the soul through the energy field into the body.
It does make total sense. So it does totally demonstrate the fact that, you know, every single part of this connection, body, mind, spirit, is essential and holds like a 30% of the whole mechanism. Right.
Because we cannot take any part of this trism out and say that we are a full person. If we're just a body, then we would be more like a machine.
Yes.
So we have to have the rest, and if we're just the mind, then we become super driven, but then we lose any kind of a satisfaction or pleasure or relaxation or ability to perceive others, even.
Mm-hmm.
We get overly separated. And if we're just the spirit, well, then we're not here.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And we have chosen to live, to reincarnate in a physical dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a need for us to truly live fully this experience, right?
To anchor in this experience means to anchor soul in the body. A lot of people tend to look at this idea of discovering the soul as something that they have to leave the body to go back to.
Yes.
When actually the process is kind of the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
We bring the soul into the body, into every single molecule and atom inside our physical structure, and we cherish it, we love it, we honor it, the body anchor, and through that we wake up inside the body, which actually makes us a full being.
And the three most important steps in this are connected to the anchoring in the physical body, which is the sense of survival. Then after we are more secure in the survival energy patterns, we go into sensuality. So survival is connected to the root chakra, sensuality is connected to the second chakra, and then the sense of self is connected to the third chakra. So those lower three chakras are what allow us to become human in a body, survival, sensuality, and a sense of self. Then we can start to bridge through the heart energy up into spirit. So many people that Eugenie and I work with tend to want to go towards the spiritual, the bigger, the more all-encompassing aspects before they've worked with the anchor pieces of their own physical bodies. And that includes finances. That includes relationships, that includes daily disciplines that take care of the body. All of these things have to be put into place first in order for spirit to manifest and translate.
So you were talking, Eugenia, at some point when you were introducing yourself about the importance of the level of consciousness. So how does that actually affect this realignment?
When somebody is able to perceive a wider range of vibrations, they can see more of the things that, let's say, are misaligned or a little blocked, more issues that we can work with consciously. The more we face what is in the way of our alignment, the more aligned we become. And the point is not to stay aligned all the time, because that would be a pretty complicated process, I would think. But it's to know when we're out of alignment and to be able to get back into it as quickly as possible, instead of spending an hour or a day or a month or a year or maybe an entire lifetime in the block without realizing that we're not in alignment.
Correct. And that this level of consciousness that allows that to happen, is there, do you believe that it's, there's a timeline within your own life purpose and your own contract that will unfold in that way, and you will get this level of consciousness or to it to, in order to discover that? Or is it anyone, any time, can actually get it? I don't know if
you... Do you mean that it's automatic?
Well, like, is it, no, like when we said, okay, here we are, we're getting onto this spiritual journey. Is that spiritual journey means bringing up the level of consciousness to actually realize?
Yeah, you're talking about, can anybody wake up in their lifetime?
Correct.
The answer is yes, but it requires the work that goes with the awakening process. That's the effort component. So we have to apply love, self-kindness, and self-love, all those components, and we have to apply effort. As we do those two, the courage that we have to do it, to face our issues, that pretty much determines how much awakening we can experience in a lifetime. If mm-hmm. we run away from our issues, then we don't wake up, because there is no such a thing as encodement that you're supposed to wake up no matter what because your timeline said so.
Mm-hmm. Everything is set in potential with opportunities along the timeline that we can either choose to take advantage of or not.
Right.
And two of the keys to that is that we have to be alert and willing. So
yes.
that dynamic alertness and the willingness to see what's really there is essential so that we can look at what is desirable in us and what is undesirable to see, because everybody mm-hmm. has their preferences and they want to see only the best in themselves. But as a true seeker and a searcher, we have to look at the things that are messed up in us and that are problematic, and we have to be able to look at them as evenly with love
mm-hmm.
as we would something that we would want to see. And this
mm-hmm.
alertness is a sense, it's a focal point of awareness that comes through the third chakra, the chakra of self-identity. As that energy moves through there, we as the self say that we will stay alert instead of hypnotized, because
mm-hmm.
we get so easily hypnotized by our culture, by our families, by our desires and dreams, that we can't stay alert because the hypnotic effect becomes more powerful than the inner desire to be alert.
It's very, very
easy to stay asleep, because then we stay with what we already know and we don't have to change anything. And
mm-hmm.
it takes more effort to discover things about ourselves, because not all of them are going to be the things we like, but
mm-hmm.
nevertheless, by looking at them, we can figure out a way to resolve them inside our own system. And
mm-hmm.
that's the willingness to look and then effort to actually face it and
mm-hmm.
deal with it. But if we deal with it, we wake up.
Mm-hmm. And so the when we are finally taking this willingness, we have this awareness, we put in love and effort, and then we realize that there is some blockage. And so what I understood is that you have block that you create in this lifetime, but then also you have some what we call a karmic pattern, right?
Right, right.
So what can you explain to our listeners and myself, what is a karmic pattern that you're bringing in, that we're bringing into this life?
A karmic pattern, it simply means that it's some sort of a lesson. It's something
mm-hmm.
that we have tried to figure out, and we didn't quite get the answer yet. We didn't quite get the learning happening.
It's not a punishment. It's a lesson that gets left over from unresolved energy that gets passed on, and
mm-hmm.
so then in the lifetime we take it in, we call it a karmic overlay. So if we pay attention to these karmic overlays and we heal them, there's an effect that happens throughout the whole soul, because all the lifetimes are connected. So if each one of us heals these karmic overlays, it spreads throughout the entire soul pattern, and it affects all the lifetimes that are connected to that overlay. And so then we evolve as a team or as a group rather than just an individual soul in one incarnation.
Every person has karmic overlays. Nobody that exists on the planet right now does not have karma. Every single one does, including us. But
mm-hmm.
How we deal with that energy, that's up to us. If we don't choose to look at it, then it runs us.
Mm-hmm.
And we become the victim of circumstances or our internal environment instead of the creators of our life. If we face our karma, even though there's a lot of things that we all need to learn, they kind of come in packages. In other words, like themes. We have a particular theme, and every person knows kind of what their theme is. Let's say they get triggered by being yelled at, so then they know that some sort of a confrontation is their theme, because there's an issue about confrontation or around being in conflict somehow. Or somebody
mm-hmm.
might have an issue with being abandoned, so then anything that when somebody leaves their life or connection with them, they might feel like they're being abandoned. So they, again, some sort of an issue in connection with that. That would be what we talk about as karmic overlays. It's a package theme. And then
okay.
a person can choose to work with that.
And these karmic overlays tend to be very persistent. These are the kinds of problems that we all have that we've had for many, many years. And sometimes they get a little bit better, but they never really resolve.
Mm-hmm.
These are because These are very intractable, very entrenched patterns because they are the most difficult thing that we're trying to heal within each one of us. And if we can pop some of those, then we start to be able to translate the soul energy and the support from the guides and the deeper intuitive powers that each one of us has. So we self-solve and we self-heal, and then we rely less on other people for our healing in our direction. It's more inner directed when we heal the karmic overlays.
Yeah, so it doesn't truly... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It doesn't truly matter to know that it's a karmic pattern or if it's just a... or if it's a fear that we believe that it that comes from this lifetime. What we need is to truly bring awareness into whatever we live today to know that somehow it needs to be deprogrammed, right?
Exactly, because anything that actually will come up in the current... existence and our experience of a life always connects to karmic overlays.
So
if we're having some sort of an issue that happens and then we resolve it and then we never think of it again, then chances are it was something that was part of this life and we worked with it and it's done. But if it's something that's a recurring pattern and we seem to be dealing with it since childhood and it gets a little better, a little worse, on and off, but it's still there, that would be part of the karmic theme. But working with it is very important because each individual is extremely important because each person defines perception of reality.
So this
is how we create, well, peace on Earth or a healthy planet or no war. We create circumstances in our life. If we're balanced, they were going to look very different than if we're not balanced as a culture. But the culture is made of individuals. So if each person works with the circumstances inside their own energy system, which would be the bind, the body and mind and spirit connection, they will end up creating a healthier internal environment, including physical health and more energy, including psychological, emotional stability and support and all those things, and more awareness of the bigger picture, which because of that perception translates into much bigger perception, like culturally or even family-based, but culturally and planetary. That's how we create healthier planet, by creating healthier internal environment and healthier bodies.
And if we pay, like you were mentioning, Aileen, if we pay attention to what's in front of us just from this lifetime, and we really tune into it and explore it, then if we... As we get the bigger picture about why it's happening, then we pop into these karmic overlays and we start to get a bigger, bigger picture. And then I always feel it for myself as my ego starts to relax, because then I think, oh, this is bigger than just the ego that I know myself as Isabel. This includes other egos. So then I get to be a part of the soul team that I am consciously becoming aware of, and even not just the great parts of it, but the ungreat parts as well, because it's all the same team.
Yes. So do you have any advice, like to help our listener in their body dimension? Like, you know, we know that we have to take care of our bodies. Obviously, they're part of the connection, they're part of the alignment, and we need to take care of it as much as trying to define what we believe is spirit and soul. But so how do we, we're going to call it technically, with food and eventually exercise, fitness, can we make sure that this we're taking care of this body in the best way? Do you
I think there's a two-sided approach to this. One component is that we need to start to see our body in a bigger way, not just as a physical mechanism, but as a concept, as a vehicle that carries our soul. So that's the part of viewing body systems in a different way. So then we interact with the body processes consciously. And another side of that, the second part of it, is to work with being aware of what we put in our body, like fuel and how we move our body, the exercise. That's more of the physical part.
And it does make total sense. So do you feel that today, especially when we look at our Western societies, and especially United States, where the level of obesity and overweight is pretty high, the rate is up to 60%, is there anything that you see emerging as a pattern because of that dis-ease, that collective dis-ease?
Right, because when we are in present time, So we're anchored in the moment. Then we take in what we need, release what is extra. Take in what we need, release what is extra. Because we have gotten too speedy as a culture, we go too fast. So we, our energy goes too fast for our physical body to anchor. The physical body can't anchor the speed of that much energy. And that because we're trying to rush after things, we're grasping and we're gulping. That's inflation and obesity. And also because of that pollution. So if a person comes back into the present moment, they move back into the speed of the body, which is actually the slowest of the three, of the soul and the mind and the body. The body's the slowest. So we have to be able to go at a slow enough speed, which is that still inner point of the moment, recognition, recognizing ourselves in a moment. Then our bodies relax, and they utilize the food that we give them very well. If we go too fast, the bodies get, from their point of view, cellular-wise, anxious and worried that they're not going to be able to process their food correctly, so they gulp it and then stash it, gulp it, stash it, and that's the obesity problem.
Mm-hmm. In other words, if the body is present, that doesn't mean that we're not doing our daily life. That doesn't mean that we're not going to work or not driving. We're still doing everything that we're doing, but we're present. Here I am sitting on the sofa. Here I am in the car. Here I am in my office.
Yes.
I'm actually focusing on a person I'm talking to. So we are actually inside every moment looking through our body instead of floating above it with our mental level. Instead, we're actually in the body, in our cells. That translates into body relaxing because it doesn't create hormonal response of danger because it feels like, okay, everything is fine. I'm safe. And then when we put food into body in that way, we're going to actually feed the parts of the body that require the food that we're putting in it instead of body saying, I have no idea what's going to happen. I've been running like crazy, so I better stash up some food.
All right. That's very interesting.
Also, we live in a country where materially, overall, we have so much, and yet we're not utilizing it well, so the bodies feel like they have nothing or very little. And so then they try to stash it. So if we have enough self, then we don't have to have enough. I mean, if we have enough self, then we don't go chasing after enough stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, and that connects to the body being an anchor, what we said somewhere earlier on, that a physical body is the anchor for the body-mind-spirit connection. So if we're not in the body, if we're not present, then we're not a really good anchor. And if we're not a really good anchor, then the body ends up being pushed by our mind to go as fast as the mind wants to go. But mind is much faster energy than a physical body. So body isn't serving mind, and mind is not serving body. If we go too fast in our culture, then the body would like to go. So then body tries to put on brakes.
Yes.
And that extra braking, that's the pattern of gaining physical weight. Because the fat cells in the body are cushions. That's the energy of cushion, because life is too rough, too raw, too fast, too much, and we slow down, but since we can't slow down because our mind doesn't let us a lot of times, then we put on weight instead.
And also, the way that the body breaks down, the type of illness it gets is indicative of its weakest link. We have a huge epidemic of diabetes in adults and children in this country because the Well, we all know that the pancreas is for insulin and sugar metabolism, right? But the energy of the pancreas is to metabolize the consciousness of sweetness or harshness. So when we get too much harshness in our lives because of the speed and the emptiness, then the pancreas, if it's going to be, if it's one of the person's physically weak links in their bodies, it's going to get diabetic or have a diabetic condition because the person is trying to figure out how to process harshness and sweetness.
This is the first component of what was the answer to your question, Aileen, about how to take care of our bodies. The first part was to view more conceptually from the bigger picture what the body systems are instead of just looking at body as a machine.
Yes.
So that's what Isabel was talking about as far as the viewing pancreas, not just the physical thing that releases insulin and then does something to our body and then, oops, we're diabetic. But it's actually an organ that translates the energy of sweetness, and because of not being able to deal correctly with that frequency, we end up with malfunction of the organ, and that leads to physical malfunction. Another thing that in this country is pretty prevalent is asthma. A lot of people have asthma, and asthma connects to lungs, and lungs connect to the energy of freedom, and also being able to see connectedness in life. And when we defend against life, we see life as dangerous. We try to block the life because it happens too fast, too quickly, too much, and we don't feel free anymore. So that creates the reaction in the lungs. So if we view body as a conscious component of the body-mind-spirit relationship instead of just a machine, we're going to resolve a lot of issues by simply applying consciousness to the whatever physical condition is.
And it's very interesting because on the collective consciousness today, we see appearing actions that are taken from people like Oprah, who has who is obviously giving a platform to Edward Eckert, who is with this power of now that he's known for. And so do you think that there's actually a shift in consciousness that is happening now, that is occurring, that is showing us that something is moving forward and that people are actually realizing that there's a need to be, that there's another way to work, and there's another way to actually deal with our reality?
Yes, as we are waking up, we're in a consciousness cycle of waking up. So consciousness falls asleep, wakes up, falls asleep, wakes up. We're beginning this waking up process. As we do this, we become more conceptual. And I want to give an example of this. So conceptually, we first of all, we have proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. Those are chemical components. But conceptually, protein is related to structure, carbohydrates related to fuel, and fats are related to cushioning. So if you just look at them as straight chemicals, you're not going to learn as much as if you look at them as concepts. So if you are too loose and too spacey and just too undisciplined, then the body is not going to benefit by eating very many carbs. They'll be benefited more by eating the protein. If a person is too tight and too tense and too driven and too structured, then they'd be better off eating some carbs. So we're going to start to be able to use everything that we perceive as we wake up in a more conceptual term, which is more powerful. The concept of anything is more powerful than the actual form of it.
Instead of a rigidity over regimen, or counting calories, or weighting self, or regimen of particular exercise, it goes more into conscious interaction of what happens when we flex a muscle, or what happens when we eat a carrot. It becomes our life reality instead of kind of a semi-dead, asleep state.
As we are waking up with this consciousness, in there's a speed of light is what we think is a set term, as a set speed. So we have the speed of light, which we think is set. But as our consciousness is waking up, the speed of light is actually changing within our bodies. And that speed of light allows us to see more, know more, and become more. So we become more responsible, more accountable, our choices matter more. We have to take ourselves more seriously with a sense of humor, too. But we have to really pay attention to who we are, what we are, and what we're becoming. That is happening now in a global way, and a lot of people are rebelling and getting more tribal and warlike and wanting to go back into patriarchal or stay in patriarchal power. And other humans are wanting to wake up and enter true humanity.
Yeah, so to answer your question, Eileen, about the kind of a global shift in consciousness, what we're experiencing with more and more people being aware that there is something bigger, that there is another way, that's the awakening that the planet experiencing, because the energy range of consciousness has changed. We have included more vibrations into our range, and because of it, more became accessible to us. And as that happens, we begin to see more of reality, not just a limited tunnel vision of reality, that everything is physical and that's it, but we start to see the bigger picture. But that is always based on things like personal authority, accountability, responsibility. It's growing the self inside the reality and living consciously, so then we are actually responsible in what our life looks like. We cannot project it out and say, like children that, let's say, parents will take care of us. There's no more parents. We are it. We're the grown-ups.
Yes.
We're entering the age of grown-ups.
We are leaving the last 2,000 years where the age of consciousness was connected to hierarchy, and we had to learn through groups and through hierarchy. And now, as we're in this 2,000 years of the Aquarian energy, it's about the power and the strength of the individual. And then the individual can make different relationships and linkages, but the individual can never just slide into a group and find power within the group that the individual does not possess on their own.
And before, it used to be possible because identity of self-perception was based so much on a group that people even considered themselves not as their name, but as where they're from, what village they're from, or what religion they're part of.
Yeah.
And now we obviously have names, but we're going much further into being able to have so much self that we can form a group and then pull the group apart, form another group. But a self stays an individual self
and
not super merged with somebody else.
Yeah, this individuality that Eugenia is just talking about is, it's a vertical power. So you can sense it within your own body as a vertical energy. It's an inner dignity. And then if we have more and more and more of this vertical energy, our crown chakras at the top of our heads become more open to them, to the most amount of frequencies that our soul can give to us without frying us, you know, because the body has to be able to translate all this soul energy through the crown all the way down to the root. There's a vertical tube that connects the crown chakra to the root. So that connection is our soul to our mind, body, to the earth. It has to be anchored to the earth. Then the energy goes horizontally out through the energy field in the body. That's how we connect with things outside of us or seemingly outside of us. That's the horizontal social connection. So if we don't have enough of this vertical individual power, we're going to fall into groups and we're going to get lost in them, and that's the backward flow.
So the new energy on the planet that's opening up has to do with this component of the energy anatomy of a human being, which is the vertical tube that goes through the top of the head, which is the crown chakra, and then down through the whole body into the ground, which is like the root. So in that tube, the energy gets translated from high frequency of the soul, which is very fast, to much slower, so the body can digest the vibration. So that's a form of eating energy, of translating energy as food in a beneficial way instead of being overly horizontal. So then we supermerge with other humans, but we have no idea how to self-support.
All right. So obviously there is a individual need to truly look at our life and our reality and what we live and try to kind of look at the picture from, like, being an observer of ourselves and realize that there's a bigger picture that we are in, but then, you know, there's dimensions around us. And I'm talking about that because I have, because Eugenia, you wrote a book, and it's called Mission Alpha, The Wise and Passionate You. And I got the book about probably, I don't know, about less than a year ago, I guess. And I could not put it down because somewhere I had felt that, you know, I wanted to get some knowledge about that bigger picture. And because intuitively, obviously, I knew that something that I missed information, and I asked to get those, and ask and you shall receive. Obviously, I was, and this book was given to me, and again, I could not put it down. So can you explain to us what your book is about, and what is the mission that you wanted to accomplish by writing it?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for reading.
that was fantastic.
Yeah, the reason this book was written is because Isabel and I, we teach workshops, and there's so much information that comes through us all the time. And this information is available to people that come and participate in what we're doing, but not available to a lot of others because there's just not enough space and time for everything. So we wanted to have some sort of a format for it, so I ended up being the one to put it in form. But that's what the book is. It's pretty much the information that starts from the ground level, so somebody who doesn't know a thing about what chakras are or energy is or anything can start reading this book. And if they read from the beginning to the end, by the end they will know how this entire system works, including conceptually what it means. Mm-hmm. And it has exercises, practical things that could be actually applied in order to enhance particular issue area, something that a person, as they're reading, they're realizing, oh, I'm not doing so well on this department. So then at the end of that chapter, there would be an exercise that they can actually use to make that component better. So it explains everything from things like, you know, energy anatomy of chakras, colors, and the body as energy. But it also talks about what physical illnesses are and how we can view them as energy misalignments and what we can do to realign the energy without necessarily having to go the drastic approach of putting something chemical into our body, but instead by realigning consciousness. So it explains a lot in that direction in connection with the physical body. But it also talks about more conscious contact with the soul and how to be more passionate about life and less scared.
It does make total sense. And one part I remember that when I read that was kind of this mind-blowing, you know, like that, wow, I didn't know that, but why didn't anyone told me before?
Well, this book is written as a manual. That kind of was the point. Manual meaning that when we come into a lifetime, we haven't gotten a manual about how to use our body here.
Exactly.
Like we haven't gotten a memo, and we're still running around trying to figure out what to do with the thing that we got into.
Exactly.
So the book is a translation. The Mission Alpha, the reason that it has that name, Alpha meaning primary. So it's a primary mission, and in the very first, probably first chapter or prologue even, there's an explanation how Mission Alpha is our pretty much mission of the soul getting into the body. That's what the whole book is about, is step-by-step manual of what we can do to support that process.
Yeah.
And being in a body on the planet, living a lifetime, is like being in a classroom. So this Mission Alpha manual is really from a very basic level to a very, very highly refined conceptual level. It can apply to so many different kinds of people wherever they are in terms of letting them see how the classroom is designed to wake them up, not to punish them or not to hold them back.
Definitely.
Yeah, it explains how circumstances of our life are meaningful, even if they're traumatic.
Yes.
What they mean, how to work with the events that happen, why we need to work with them, and how to wake up inside of them so then our perception changes from pain to something much more positive like curiosity.
Definitely. And so the wise and passionate you, is it the one that we need to kind of look for? Is it the one that this is actually the mission to explore?
Yes, this is what we're waking up into. Because right now, most of us human beings, instead of being wise and passionate, we are asleep and terrified. And we're trying to wake up our wisdom, which means remember the bigger picture. And we're trying to let go of fear so we can actually live and engage life with excitement, which is passion.
Yes. That's very interesting. I mean, it is really a book that I recommend to. And I do it with my clients. And it's just like, you don't understand anything about it, then you know, I'm not going to spend my time explaining to you. Just get Eugenia's book and you will know everything. And after you need to apply it, obviously, but there's so many, you know, it was really to me a way to, I have a question and I just can look at it. It's kind of my little reference. It's my little, you know, spiritual reference and dictionary as well. So, and it's very approachable. It's you know, I read a lot of books about energy work and healing and chakras and but it does make sense. To me, it was really the right tool to make the concept that were totally theoretical into a three-dimensional package. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much. It's definitely a book that has a lot of information.
And obviously you can get it online at your website. And what's your website?
The website is www.energypulsesource.com. Three words as one, energypulsesource.com. In the products department there, we have that book for sale.
Among other things that you can actually get from you guys.
Yes, we have many things that we connect to as part of what we are doing as our life on Earth here and experience of teaching. So anything that resonates with us ends up being there. Definitely check it out.
And there's a lot of little snippets from the workshops that we've taught over the last 8 or 9 years, just little points of reference to pique people's curiosity about what's in the workshops.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that's
and we also have excerpts from the book on the website. So if somebody wants to read small portions of it to kind of see what it's about, you can definitely do that on the site.
And you have a fantastic calendar.
Yes, we do. We have a very interesting way of approaching, we think, reality on this planet. So we decided to put that into words of translating how the Earth energies affect us human beings in our physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So the calendar talks about elements of Earth, like fire, air, water, and earth, how they affect the body, what they show up as on a particular days of particular months, and what we can do about smoothing the experience of them. So then we can eat particular food or do particular exercise or think particular thoughts or have particular behavior to help ourselves to be more in tune with the planet instead of outside of that reality and just in our mental level driving through life.
As we figure out how to become more attentive to our physical bodies and anchored in them, then we become more connected to the planetary body. And as the planetary body shifts and changes and is sometimes more water-based, sometimes more earth, air, fire, whatever percentage or combinations the planet is working with, then we in our physical bodies in a lifetime, in our daily, in our days and weeks, we can then attune to getting ourselves what we need to balance because of whatever the planet is doing.
And we're doing those calendars for every year. We used to do them more verbally, and last year it became a published thing. So it's an actually paper printed calendar that somebody can have in their office. And
definitely. And
notice
it's
if they're freaking
gift.
Out on Tuesday, let's say, they can look and say, oh, that's why there's a lot of fire happening this day. And I know that I have a lot of fire, so I'm freaking out because I'm having too much fire. So I need to focus on water, drink a lot of water, or maybe take a longer shower or even a bath that day to relax, so then my nervous system wouldn't be freaking out on Tuesday. That's a really kind of a day-to-day thing.
Yes, it's a very helpful tool, and it's a great gift. It's really a great gift to give to someone that you like and that you love and that you you want to actually support in their journey, too. So,
well, as we figured out how, as a species, we figured out, we've just started figuring this out as we're waking up, the essentialness of connecting back to the planet. Because as we lived closer to the Earth, as more indigenous cultures still do, we were naturally connected to the planet, and because we've become so industrialized, we've popped away from the planet. We've lost that visceral contact. And in order to solve the pollution problems and the emotional problems that we all have, we have to get back to that planetary contact again.
And the planetary contact supports us. This is the culture that's running around trying to get support from things. And we can never get support from things, like having money in the bank or having certain type of car or a job or a relationship. Those are all things or circumstances, but they don't give us the support that we're actually looking for in that alignment of the body, mind, and spirit. So the planet is actually the anchor for the support. And this is why we keep coming up with the calendar information, because so many people are trying to figure out how to live consciously. Well, this is a way to actually know which day, what's happening, and how you can realign to that in every single day. And we're printing one for the next year, for 2009, so there would be every year there is a calendar.
Ah, brilliant. We're going to be going on your website, guys, to send some gifts. And then there's a little thing that we got like about 5 minutes to end, but I really, because I think that it's so interesting, and I think that you're the only one that I've been getting that little thing, is that when you send an email or you write, Eugenia, love in light and darkness.
Yes.
And
I always write in light and dark.
Yes. So explain a little bit in the last three, 4 minutes, why is it so important to not deny that darkness? Because there's
because
a lot of
as
people...
as we're waking up, the energy that is dark, it's usually what we consider that we either don't like or we don't know. But that's also where all the support is, because it's our own energy that's just disowned by us. So there's been a lot of movements of saying in love and light, but love and light does not include the energy that we're rejected. So in doing so, we kind of try to focus on a positive but ignore the negative. And there is nothing wrong with focusing on a positive as long as we include the negative that we know we love the dark side of us also, because that's what's helping it to wake up into light.
We don't want to stay trapped in duality and repulse between light and dark. We want to connect them. So the third point is the Trinity. So we go into light and dark, and we become the third point, which is the reference point, so we don't repel against dark and rush after light, because that just keeps us trapped in duality. So as we go evenly between light and dark, then we wake up.
Yeah, and light and dark as two opposites, but then love as the unconditional merging principle, hence the love and light and dark.
This is very, very interesting. It's always been like, ooh, I like that. And it's true that, you know, it's not something that you see a lot of people in the spiritual community bringing forth, because it's always, here I am with my love and light and peace, and, you know, everything is just fun and happy, but just somewhere, you know, wholeness means wholeness, and it means that everything needs to be part of it, and that is part of it.
And we have to earn it. We can't just assume it because it's a spiritual principle and stick it on us like a bumper sticker. We actually have to earn the energy by being brave enough to go in and challenge those dark energies with our own love and light, and then teach those dark energies that they were trapped as a negative form, say anger, rage, jealousy, bitterness or depression, something like that, right? And then transmute them back into what they really are, which is awakened energy of conscious love.
Which is everything that we were talking about today as the awakening.
In the awakening, And so there is, like, I know there's a few people that I have met and who I've heard saying, well, you know, that's who I am and that's my personality. And so what do you...
This has to do with containment, because a person can have a personality that is prejudiced towards, say, anger or whatever the negativity might be. And if they contain it, which means they run it vertically through their system, then it's just fine. They can be angry and we can be around them and we're not going to be affected by them, because they're responsible enough to contain their anger, because their anger is not directed at something. That's just a person who's conscious being pure with their anger. But if their anger is directed at something, that's messy and that's irresponsible.
Yeah, any energy we are allowed to have, as long as we own it, that's the part of the new age that we're entering into that has to do with accountability, responsibility, and a very strong identity of self with authority. That's the containment and running the energy vertically up and down through our alignment of the body, mind, and spirit instead of flopping it out onto other people.
That's very interesting, very interesting. And it's really 55 minutes of condensed using I and Isabel, and really I commend you people to all my listeners, and all the friends of the friends of the friends of all those listeners to check out their website,
www.energypulsesource.com,
and get the manual, the life manual that should be in right next to your bed.
The mission alpha next to your bed.
Right next to your bed, reading it with a, you know, when you wake up in the morning, a chapter at night, and if you want to get in touch with them, obviously for personal session, this is a fantastic way to get on the journey, move forward, and really claim back that power that you have, and unfold this fulfilling experience that you deserve. So Eugenia Isabel, thank you thousand times, a million times again for sharing your precious time. I know that you're busy, and hopefully we'll do it again, because it was really fun. It was
thank you very much. Yeah, really, we appreciate it.
Very good. Next week we'll be having Ken Buckin, who is an angelic intermediary. He's channeling messages for whoever needs to get it through the from the angelic realm, and he will do some short reading on new listeners who are willing to take the phone and call us. So we'll be talking about that more next week. But for now, have a good evening and love, light, and peace in light and darkness. Bye-bye.
Can I fly away back to yesterday? Somewhere in my heart we'll never be apart. Every time I try